This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. We have reached the last juz of the Quran. Juz number 30. The 30th part of the Quran. And I want to share with you a very important aspect and concept for us in regards to our soul. Our soul is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside of us. Our soul is that which, if it leaves our body, we are considered mayyit, we are considered dead. Some scholars may translate the soul as nafs, or they may translate it as ruh. And the ruh is more beneficial here, because if we're talking about from the physical sense of that which leaves the body, it is that which is the ruh. As Ibn Qayyim has defined it, death, maut, is mufaraqatur ruhi lil jasad. It is when the soul leaves the body. Now, a feature of the ruh may be of the nafs. In any case, when we talk about the soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a reality of the soul and how He has created it and how we should interact with it. He gives us and he tells us about the raw material of the soul, but how do we interact with it in a successful way? Allah says in the Quran, in the chapter of Shams, the chapter of the sun, He swears by the sun and its brightness. He swears by a number of items all the way to 6 verses. But then when he gets to the 7th verse, he says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He says, وَنَفْسٍ. And the nafs here, as we've translated as soul, or we could say ruh, in regards to what leaves the body. But the nafs here is the nafs is more of that which you are dealing with on a daily basis, that which you have to fight. He says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, and the soul which he who has proportioned, that he has created the soul and proportioned it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. So after he's proportioned this soul, he has given it or introduced to it the discernment of wickedness and righteousness. فَأَلْهَمَهَا إِلْهَام. إِلْهَام is that feeling that you may have to do wickedness or to do righteousness. And he has introduced the soul to that. The soul is exposed to those things. But the exposure does not mean indulgence. The exposure does not mean answering the call of either one of them. And that's where the element of choice comes in. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says immediately after it, قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And that's what I want to capitalize on here. He says, he has succeeded who purifies it. Zakkaha, like zakah. قَدَ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And this is a verb. He is successful, the one who purifies it. وَقَدَ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he is that lost, the one who covers it, or the one who hides it with sins and transgression. So the covering it is with sins and transgression. You are not allowing it to live. You are killing the healthy soul, adulterating it with sins that are consistent, continuous, and subhanAllah, with no remorse of those sins. Because when one has a remorse, this is an action of tazkiyah. This is an action of purification. Any action that is done in the name of Allah, with the way that Allah wants it done, is an act of purification. So when you pray, when you fast, when you make hajj, when you pay zakat, when you're honest, when you fight your jealousy, when you fight your envy, and you think about things, and you say a good word about a person that you may be jealous of, and you ask Allah to relieve that jealousy from your heart, this is an act of purification. This not only is an act, what we mean by an act of purification, the act is something Allah loves, therefore the reward for it is endless. But make no mistake, whatever reward it will be, it is a means of purifying your heart. And that process of purification requires the choice that you make to be purified. The choice that you make, as we mentioned, to be honest, to be chaste, to be loyal, to be religious, to be a person that says, Allah, I thank you for all the blessings you have given me. And I will show my thanks, my shukr, bil a'mal wa bil lisan, with my actions and with my tongue. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that consistently think about purifying our souls, purifying our hearts, to where, inshallah, He will be pleased with us in this life and also in the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that benefit from this beautiful Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that make this Quran the spring of our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that make this Quran a source of healing for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that increase our reading of the Quran and that make us from the Ahlul Quran alladhina hum ahluhu wa khasatu, to make us from the people of the Quran that they are from His family and of His special, special people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us min Ahlullah, Ahlul Quran, the people of Allah, the family of Allah, which is the family of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that when we recite this beautiful book, if we are not from the Maharatul Quran, from the experienced ones of reciting the Quran, may He make us of those alladhina yatata'una fil Quran wa huwa alayhi shaq. May He make us of those that when we stutter and struggle with reciting this book and it is difficult for us, falahu ajran, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that he will receive two rewards. May Allah make this Quran that which purifies us and keeps us on the path of recitation. We get to lunahu haqqa tilawati, recites it the way that it should be recited, which in actuality is the people that act upon the ayat, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, huwa Quranun yamshi, as Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, he was a walking Quran. May Allah bless us in this beautiful book. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.